tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 13th of February 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say that we have our usual weekly special guest with us here today. I was unable to make the show last week. It wasn't Grandpa Dan's fault he wasn't here, but he is here today. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? How is life treating you?
I was just chugging along. We're getting things back on track, Span. And speaking back on track, looks like we're back on track. It's the first time, I think, since you've been back.
Back on
Friday
the trannies.
Edition of the Daily Trends. Yes, the Daily Transitionalist has returned once again.
Yeah, it was very difficult to find a story today. We've actually got two stories that I think fit together quite well. We've got the first one, which is on the amount of LGBTQ propaganda that is now in children's shows. And the second story is about new guidance from the UK government to primary school teachers in Britain, telling them that they can socially transition four-year-olds. And I think the two news stories are related together, because obviously these small children are being propagandized with LGBTQ propaganda and idealism. And I think the end result of that is the transing of the children, which the government are now facilitating. So the first report that we have here comes from Breitbart, and it is titled, Report Says 41% of Netflix Shows for Children Contain LGBTQ Plus Content in 2025. A massive amount of streaming TV shows aimed at small children contains sexualized LGBTQ Plus content. Despite efforts to create a more detailed ratings system to help parents navigate streaming content. For instance, 41% of shows that are supposed to be G-rated for kids on Netflix still has blatant gay content, including transgenderism, according to a year-end report by the activist group Concerned Women for America. The group also found that 21% of shows in the TVY category, which is meant to cover kids up to 7 years of age, also has LGBTQ plus content, and the numbers only get worse for older kids. In the TVY7, covering ages 7 and above, the content soars to 41%. Overall, across all the child-rated categories, TVG, TVY, TVY7, 33% contains such content. And I'm wondering what it means by G-rated here. If it has a TVG, TVY, TVY7, and what is TVG? Is that over 10 years old or something like that? 41% of those shows have blatant gay content in them. And for seven-year-olds, it's 21%. And yet, if you think the percentage of the population that are homosexual, we're told, is between 1 and 2%, yet they make up 40% of children's TV shows. I mean, it's quite clear to me that this is being propagandized to the children, to have so much of this content in there. It's not just about representing people and having people not feeling left out. It's about promoting this to children. And children really shouldn't be understanding what homosexuality is. A homosexual is someone who engages in homosexual sex. So how can you say that there's a gay child? It would mean that the gay child would have had illicit sex. It would mean that the child had been raped to actually have a gay child. So it really has no business in being in children's shows at all. And as I say, I think the end result of this is an increase in homosexuality. Grandpa, what do you think of this? Have you heard of this TVG rating before? Do you know what age that is?
I don't. Because I don't watch any of this Netflix or any of this garbage. But I think you bring up a really, really good point, and I want to focus on that for just a minute, talking about when you brought up the fact that this is defined by the act. So in other words, you were talking about actually doing the act. And they never like it when you get specific of what you're talking about. You know, they like it to be fluffed up into these, you know, just kind of a vagary, you know. It's just gay friendly, LGBT friendly content. But if you get into talking about what the specific mechanics of that is, everybody gets offended really quick because they don't want you thinking about that. And yeah, you're really right to point out that it this means the act, you know. So in a sense, if you think of it that way, which I do believe is correct, it's kind of a grooming thing, isn't it? It's an idea of getting children open to the idea of this. So what? Maybe they have less of a defense instinct if they're approached by somebody for this sort of activity. Because what else could be the point? Like you say, it's not a gay child unless they're doing homosexual sex acts. So what are they doing? It's like softening up the target, so as to speak. Now, yeah, they push this on children, and we kind of, you and I talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but you know, who's watching this? And when you're talking about promoting this to young kids, a lot of parents, they use the TV as a babysitter. And you know, the parents are not the vast majority are not going to sit down and watch this crap with their kids. So they really know what their kids are watching. So they look at these ratings and they look at the name and the artwork for the show. And they think, oh, it's just a harmless, you know, kids show. And they turn it on and stick their kid in front of the TV as a babysitter and go off and do what they need to do. Housework, whatever it is they're doing, you know, posting their TikTok videos. I don't know. Anyway, they're using the TV as a babysitter and they have no idea that their kids are being essentially groomed. They're taking in this content, softening them up, you know, opening their minds. We have to remember the kids are born like a blank slate. If you think of them as like a computer, but it has to be programmed. And children growing up, their experiences growing up, what you tell them as parents or, you know, the things that they see around them are all a part of what writes down who they are. You know, and it affects them later on in life because this is like their base code that goes in and starts establishing who they are because they don't have an identity. They've just been in the world for a few short years. And so this is why this content is aimed at them. They know this. It's because they know they're blank slate. They're trying to write this code into them early on. Oh, and I'm sorry, but the day for parents, the days when parents could just sit around and lazily use the TV as a babysitter and just stick them in front of it and go on about their business, that's over. You know, parents are going to have to get up to speed with the times and know that you can't just plop your kid down in front of the TV and trust that these ratings and these shows are going to be suitable content for them. You're going to have to be involved. It's a lot of work, but you've got to have to be involved, and you're just not going to be able to do that because this is the sort of thing they're being exposed to.
Well, TVG means TV general. It means it's suitable for children of all ages. So that means the content that's supposedly suitable for children of all ages, almost half of it contains this LGBTQ propaganda. As you're pointing out there, Grandpa, children soak up these things and they copy what they see as well. So they're really basically just encouraging children to experiment with homosexuality by showing this to children at such a young age. The group also rated how extreme the content is as well, rating it from meta to implied to queer coded to explicit, and found that 24% of TVY7 rated programs had explicit gay sexual content. That means for 7-year-olds, it had explicit homosexual content, which included outright declarations of homosexuality, transgenderism, and sexual behavior. So they're literally seeing homosexual acts on the television at 7 years old. CWA went on to note that reboots of older series also upped the ante for gay content, even where there was no such content in the older shows. It is also worth noting that reboots of older series or later seasons of long-running series frequently introduced LGBTQ characters where none existed before. In addition to the Magic School Bus, this was observed with Power Rangers, the Babysitter's Club, She-Ra, and the Fairly Odd Parents, among others, CWA said in its report. And of course, people around our age, they probably remember Power Rangers and He-Man and She-Ra when they originally came out. And I imagine most people will think, oh, isn't it good? My son or my daughter is watching the same television programs that I used to, without knowing that they've got all this LGBTQ propaganda in them. I mean, if you just think 20 years ago, 25 years ago in Britain, it was illegal to promote homosexuality in schools to children. And we've gone from not allowing it promoted in schools to children to promoting it in schools to children, promoting it to younger and younger children, to having half of all TV series aimed at all children of all ages containing this content. And then we wonder why there's been this massive increase in depression among children and transgenderism among children, and also shocking numbers of children abusing other children, sexually abusing other children. And that's probably also related to pornography. But I mean, what they're showing here with homosexual activities for young children is it's essentially putting homosexual soft porn and showing that to children. I mean, if I was a parent, I don't think I would. I just really wouldn't want my children to watch television at all. I think you'd have to watch the television with the child. And of course, the parents don't have the time to do that anymore. This is why it's so important that mothers remained at home rather than going out to school. What are your thoughts on this, Grandpa? Do you remember any of these old TV shows here? Power Rangers, She-Ra?
The older shows is to trick the parents, so the parents will think it's the same thing. They'll identify with the old shows and they'll think, oh well, I remember that when I was a kid, and they think it's going to be the same thing, and obviously it's not. And you know, as you said, you know, parents don't have the time to sit and watch this stuff and know what their kids are watching. But here's the thing, they're gonna have to. You know, it's difficult. You know, the most important thing you're going to do one of the most important things you're going to do as a human being alive on the face of the earth is raise your kids. And I'm sorry, but your job is less important. Your TikTok videos, doom scrolling, social media, whatever the hell people are doing in their spare time. You know, raising your kids is going to be the most important thing. And so parents are going to have to. It's difficult, but you got to have priorities. Mowing the grass can wait. You need to know what your kids are doing. In fact, get your kids out there doing some things outside with, you know, taking part in whatever it is you're doing if you're around the house. There's just no other choice. And we can get bogged down in the whys of this, but at the end of the day, what's more important on a practical level for people is the what. And we know this is happening. You know, this isn't a mystery. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not something you can just hand wave off and say, oh, well, people say that, but it's not that bad. One of my critiques of this article is they didn't really give good specific examples, and they should do that. They should have done that to really drive the point home so that people can't sit there and dismiss it and say, well, it's probably not that bad. They should have given some specific examples. But the thing is, we know this is happening. This is well documented. Like I say, you can't say it's just a crazy internet conspiracy theory. We know it's happening. The why, sure, you can get off into the weeds with why this is taking place. But for parents, all you need to know is the what, and you know it is. So quit sitting your kids in front of the TV as a babysitter. You just can't do that. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, but you're going to have to know what they're watching. You're going to have to spend more time with them. You have to take them with you if you can. You got to do the things you got to do, because otherwise you're exposing them to this. And as I said before, this amounts to grooming. Kids don't know. So what this is doing is introducing them. So if an adult brings it into the picture, you know, you talked about kids abusing other kids. And a lot of those, I believe in a lot of those instances, well, the kid doing the abusing is because they've already been abused by an adult. And so they've been introduced to this. And they don't just come up with it on their own. It's been introduced. This is soft grooming. It's opening them up to the idea. So if they're approached by an adult, they think, oh, it's just like the show. You know, it's just, we're just going to be special friends or something. And it ends up into something much, of course, much more vulgar and disgusting and very, very harmful. So, I mean, this is the what is what matters. And this is the reality. So, you know, people got to do with you. You got to protect your kids, period. That's the most important thing you can do, more than paying your bills, more than anything else. You got to protect your kids. And these sorts of things just really drive that point home.
Yeah, I don't think it should be discussed before children have really gone through puberty, because it's too difficult for them to understand. When you're a young lad, all your friends are boys. You're not interested in girls. And then if you're told on the television set that somebody that just likes boys is homosexual, if you don't know any different, you're going to think, oh, well, I must be a homosexual then, because all my friends are boys. And that's just the way things are when you're a child. You're friends with your own gender. And yet I can see that this could really confuse some of these children that are just normal, happy children that have friends of their own gender, and that they think that perhaps they might be homosexual. And as you point out there, Grandpa, I think grooming is the correct term for it, because it is preparing children for homosexual activity. It's preparing them to accept homosexual activity. And I mean, they're quite open about that. That's why they do it, is because they don't want children to be prejudiced when they're older. So they are saying they want children to be acceptable of homosexual activity. And again, this is children. This isn't teenagers. This is children under the age of 7, all children that are being hit with this propaganda. Continuing with the quotes here, any observant media consumer has been aware for some time of the increased visibility of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and in the last 5 years especially, transgendered characters on children, CWA says in its report. What was a cultural flashpoint 30 years ago has become a commonplace occurrence. For decades, the advocacy group GLAAD has been lobbying for increased representation in popular media, and they have tracked their progress with annual Where We Are on TV reports for the last 20 years. Their efforts have been overwhelmingly successful, and in its most recent report, GLAAD claims a 4% increase in representation on television in the last year alone. The report insists that the growing amount of gay content jammed into programming for kids, coupled with the loud defense of that content issued by the creators of these shows, proves that content creators view children's programming as a tool for cultural transformation, not merely a reflection of existing norms. And that's what this is. It's social engineering. It's social engineering of the children to make them accepting of homosexuality. And another result of that is you get an increase in homosexuals in the population. And most people who are homosexual, they would admit that their first sexual experience was with an older person of the same gender. So most of them were actually molested in the first place. And then the end result of that is, well, I would suggest part of the result of that is that they become homosexual as an adult. Of course, people try to justify these things, and they may say, oh, well, I've always known since I was a child that I was homosexual. You say to them, well, who was your first sexual experience with? And they will say it's with an older person of the same gender. So it's child abuse, effectively. And instead of trying to prevent child abuse, what we've effectively done is we've normalized the results of that child abuse, which is homosexuality, transgenderism, and we've normalized that. Rather than trying to protect children from being influenced by that, we are surrounding them with this. I'm not saying that it's done in a malicious way. We understand the reason for it. As I've said, it's because we don't want people to feel left out of society, and we do have homosexuals in society. We don't want them to feel that they're being excluded in any way. But surely the protection of the children should be more important than anything else, protecting children from becoming abused. And if they're seeing this stuff on the television, it is just preparing them for this so that they will accept this, so that if they do get molested, they'll just think, oh, well, that's just normal. I saw it on the television. I mean, we've seen it in children's books as well. There are terrible books that were in the libraries in America a couple of years back that the parents were complaining about, that actually showed teachers molesting children and literal pedophilia in these books under the guise of equality and homosexual equality, and they're literally showing pedophilia in there. And it's quite shocking that this is the sort of stuff that's on television today. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on this before we move on to the next article?
I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. This is how homosexuals reproduce. They can't reproduce a normal way because it's a genetic dead end. I don't need to really spell that out. It could get vulgar, but I mean, they can't genetically reproduce. So this is how they reproduce. They get a hold of a younger person, a child or a early teenager, and expose them to this and influence. This is how they reproduce. That's the ugly truth of it. They don't want you talking about the ugly truth. But that's the ugly truth of it. They try to gloss it up. They try to fluff it up, make it about acceptance and everybody feeling a part of the community. This is how they reproduce. Like I say, they always want to put it in these fluffy terms. And when you start getting into the mechanics of what's involved, they get repulsed and angry and call you names and tell you to shut up because they don't want people thinking about it because it's off-putting. That's why they try to dress these things up. But that is, at the end of the day, pretty much how this is carried on. Now, at the end of the day, for parents, I would say the devil gives you a choice. And it's your choice to expose your kids to this. You know, this is one of how many of these types of stories have we covered over the years? Too many to count. I couldn't tell you. There's no way you don't know this is what's being pushed. You don't know. You sit your kids in front of a Netflix show or any other of these shows on regular, you know, on regular TV. And you know, this is what you're exposing your kids to. It's a choice. You know, the devil always gives you a choice so he can accuse you, so as to speak. And so if you make the choice to do it anyway because you've got things you think are more important, you bear a certain amount of responsibility for that. You can say, well, yeah, but it's difficult and I have this and that's fine. And that may be true, but at the end of the day, it was still your choice. So if you choose to just put that off, to put other things, to prioritize other things over raising your kids, that's your choice. And, you're going to bear a certain amount of guilt and responsibility for that. And people don't want to hear it. But you don't know my circumstances. Look, yeah, the devil doesn't make your choices easy. He makes it as difficult, but it is still a choice. If you know this is what's on there and you still expose your kids to it, that's your choice because you thought you had other things more important to do. And at the end of the day, in 10 years, you're still dealing with your kids. But whatever you thought right now was important 10 years from now, you won't even remember what was so damn important, you know? So, yeah, it's a choice. Don't expose your kids to it. It's going to take more work. But at the end of the day, you won't regret putting the work in, guaranteed. But if you don't and you expose them to this, maybe nothing will happen. They may shrug it off. I think this is more insidious being put on small children because, as I say, they're more susceptible. They're more of a blank slate. When you get into teenagers, a lot of this crap here, teenagers aren't watching this. You know, they laugh at it, how silly it is. But this is really, this is why it's really being focused on little kids, sadly, and disgustingly enough.
Well, I mean, they admit that. I mean, that's why they say why they do it. So they want to get them while they're young so that they're not prejudiced when they're older. So that's why they hit them with this early propaganda. And it's, you know, the side effect of that is that you are preparing them for these homosexual acts. There's got to be a better way of making people less prejudiced against homosexuals than teaching children about it. And one of these end results of this, as I was saying, this normalization of these things, is that they're now going to allow primary schools to socially transition four-year-olds in Britain. And of course, socially transitioning is when you start referring to them by the opposite sex to what they actually are. Now, this comes from the Daily Mail. Labour opens door to trans children in primary schools. The government could allow pupils as young as four to change their gender. Labour opened the door on Thursday to primary school children changing their gender. Long-awaited trans guidance for schools finally arrived, having been watered down from previous Tory proposals. Instructions drawn up by now Tory leader Kemi Badenoch forbade primary schools from changing pupils' pronouns, but the government's guidance has scrapped the ban. instead saying those as young as four should be allowed full social transition to the opposite gender, albeit in rare circumstances. Other sections have been deleted, including edicts that secondary pupils should change their pronouns only on very few occasions, that no teacher or pupil should be compelled to use the new pronouns, and that teachers should not be stopped from saying boys and girls. So the Labour Party have also removed all of those. I suppose at least they haven't actually said that the school teachers themselves can determine whether a child is transgender and choose to socially transition them without telling the parents, which is actually what the law is in Scotland, if you can believe that. I mean, I tell that to people and they have really struggled to believe that in Scotland, teachers can diagnose a child as transgender and socially transition them at the age of four without even bothering to tell the parents. I mean, it doesn't say anything here about them not telling the parents. I think they have to do this with the parents' permission. But the fact is that they're still teaching children that things that aren't basically true, that they're the opposite sex. Instead of getting them to be happy in the sex that they are in, they want to confuse them. And they confuse them all the more by stopping classroom from doing things that only boys can do, for a start. You know, they should be teaching boys to be proud of being boys, to enjoy being boys, enjoy the fact that they're capable of doing things that girls can't actually do, but they won't do that. They will reduce everything to something that girls can do, and then they will pathologize the boys and say, oh, well, they're fidgeting all the time. There must be something wrong with them. They must have ADHD. Well, little boys want to go out and do things. They don't want to just sit there and draw pictures and obey the teacher. That's not what being a boy is all about. And if you encourage boys to enjoy being boys, I don't think you will get so many boys thinking they're girls or girls thinking that they are actually boys. I mean, what do you make of this, Grandpa? 4 years old, they're saying they can socially transition them at such a young age.
I live in the U.S. and this country is a complete train wreck. But I have to tell you, we sit over here in the U.S. and we look over at the U.K. and, you know, over at the EU too, for that matter. But the U.K. in particular. And I have to be honest, man, we look at the UK as a complete, I mean, it's a laughing stock. We're laughing at the UK over here. It's cooked. I hear so many people, the UK is just so far gone. And I like to think outside of the box. I was sitting here listening to you talking about this. And I thought, you know, the only hope for the UK may be Islam. And I'm saying that not even like being ironic or trying to be funny, you know, because the system that we live in, the world that we live in, is built on balance. It's a self-correcting system. I think it's one of the brilliance of the design that God used when he created this realm that we live in this world. And it's designed to self-correct. When things get out of balance, they get drawn back in. And as you were talking about this, I was thinking about, you know, the massive amounts of Muslim influx of, you know, people of the Islamic faith into the UK, and, you know, the pushback on it, obviously, and people being opposed to that. And I'm looking at it, and I can't help when I see a story like this, and I think, you know, that may be the system preparing to balance things back out, because I don't see, I'm be honest, you know, I don't live there, so I acknowledge I could be speaking way out of turn. I don't see how you fix it. I don't see, there's not enough social pressure. The government, like on all of the democracy countries, including the one I live in, they don't care what the people want, think. They don't care about your opinions. They don't care if you protest. You know, so how do you stop this? Because this is cartoonish evil. I mean, it's just it's cartoonish on so many levels of how stupid and silly and evil it is. So how do you fix it? And I'm thinking, well, you know, the Muslims may be the answer to fix your society. That's a real possibility. See, I like to think big picture. I like to think outside the box, not just be knee jerk about things and think, you know, the only way I can see the UK, you know, returning to some level of sanity, and you know, obviously everybody knows, and, you know, full disclosure, obviously I'm not Muslim, but I'm thinking the Muslims may be the only hope to some return to normalcy. For the UK, nobody's going to like hearing me say that, but, you know, reality is what it is, because I don't see the native British population turning it around. There's still very little pushback, and what pushback it is, doesn't matter. The government doesn't care. They don't care what the native British population feels about it, thinks about it. They just do it anyway. So what's the answer? How does balance ultimately get restored? And I'm thinking it might be Islam. That may be the only thing that turns your society around, Sven. You probably don't like hearing that, but that may be the answer. I don't know.
Well, it is truthful to say that Muslims wouldn't stand for this. You know, a lot of the time, I've got more in common with traditionalist Muslims than I do with left-wing white people, to be honest, because the traditionalist Muslims, they're against feminism. They're against the LGBTQ being taught to children. They understand the requirement and the need to be amongst your own people. In fact, the only things I really disagree with them on is immigration policy. And that's obviously because they would like more of them to come into this country because they like being around their own people. And it's quite easy to explain, well, it's the same for white people. And they aren't personally the ones that are opening up the borders. They're just the people that are coming into the country. They're trying to make use of it. And in the Islamic areas, they certainly won't be standing for this. And we've had anti-drag queen story hour protests that Muslims have turned up to support Patriotic Alternative. So what you're saying is correct there, Grandpa. They don't have this in Muslim countries. And we shouldn't have it in Christian countries either. A lot of the Islamic laws are based on Christian law anyway, on Old Testament law. So it's really a failure of the Christian faith that we allow these things to go on. Well, continuing with the quotes here. On Thursday, campaigners said the guidance puts pupils at risk by encouraging the dangerous fairy tale that children changing gender is possible. Tory education spokesman Laura Trott said primary school children should not be navigating changes in pronouns at all. But shockingly, Labour's guidance opens the door to children as young as four being referred to in a way that does not reflect their biological sex. The Department for Education guidance on gender questioning children, which is subject to consultation, will eventually be backed by law. Maya Forstarter, the chief executive of Sex Matters, and I believe she is a detransitioner, said schools are still being left with the idea that they can facilitate social transition, which remains undefined, and that they should negotiate this on a case-by-case basis. They are being encouraged to think that children have a birth sex as well as some other concept of sex. This has no basis in law or reality, and it undermines safeguarding. It should be clear by now that allowing children and parents to think that a child who starts their education as a girl can graduate as a boy, or vice versa, is a dangerous fairy tale. Stephanie Davies-Arai, the founder of Transgender Trend, which advocates for an evidence-based approach towards children, added, "No child should be compelled to call a boy she or a girl he. It is other children who are expected to socially transition a classmate by using their preferred pronouns, and this is a wholly inappropriate demand of any child." And that's another side of it that I hadn't really thought about, but it is. It's all the other children in the class that are being expected to refer to the child as the opposite of what they actually know them to be. It expects every other child in the class to lie, to say something that they know is not true when a child is socially transitioned. And the child that is socially transitioned is being encouraged to believe a complete fairy tale that they can actually change their sex, which of course they can't. And when they get older and they realize that after making all these awful operations like Maya Forstarter did, then it can be extremely depressing for them, especially if they've lost the ability to have children, lost the ability to enjoy sex, all of these things that you really wouldn't understand at the age of four when you are relying on the grown-ups in your life to make decisions for you and make the best decisions for you. And instead of doing that, we've got this politically motivated idea here of promoting transgenderism among children. I thought this was done away with. I mean, it is one of the things that I've spoken before about with Kemi Badenoch, one of the good things that she did. She said, look, no schools should be socially transitioning any children. They should be referring to them as what is on their birth certificate. And once they're older and they've left school, if they wish to transition, they can. But it's certainly not for children. And it was very good of her to speak out and actually do that. But of course, now that the Labour Party are in, they're changing this. And it may well be that it is because of what Kemi Badenoch said is why they're changing this, just to get their own back on the Tories, because we've been told that sex matters and that men are not allowed to take part in women's sports. And part of this article, I think, says that it doesn't make changes there. But if boys are not allowed to take part in girls' sports, then surely that's a bit incongruous if you're going to allow boys to call themselves girls. I mean, this is going to cause all sorts of problems. I think they really should have just stuck with the original way that they looked at it when they said, well, you need to be referring to them as what it says on their birth certificate. Grandpa, what do you make of this, and what this detransitioner has had to say?
Well, you hit on a good point, and I hadn't really thought of that. You know, by making the whole class go along with it, it's teaching a side effect of this is teaching them compliance with something. I mean, every kid in the class knows that's silly and a lie, but it teaches them to comply and go along with a lie anyway, which will come in handy in the programming later on when they're adults and the government comes up with ridiculous lies and demands everybody goes along with the theater. They'll be more prone to do that. This is a system where if you're a 15-year-old and you know you're vaping or smoking a cigarette, that's a criminal penalty. You'll get in a lot of trouble. And the same system allows this sort of thing to go on, you know, especially when you get into the surgery stuff, which, you know, in all fairness, they're not pushing the surgery stuff on, you know, prepubescent children. This is when they get into teenage. But at the same time, 13-year-olds encouraged to take puberty blockers, or even worse, if surgical procedures are involved. But even these hormone blockers, the long-term effects are at best unknown, but they're not going to be good. Nobody thinks they're going to be good. But at that age, if this kid got caught smoking a cigarette, oh, they're going to be in a lot of trouble, much less smoking alcohol, which is going to be a lot less detrimental than this. This is what's promoted. The system is illegitimate. Now, I don't know how else to say. I mean, how long can you dance around this thing, this system that we all live under? And the UK is an extreme version of it, because y'all have gone completely off the rails over there. And y'all, you don't run the system, obviously, but the system you live under is gone so far into the realm of absurdity that, I mean, yet people are still supposed to pretend like it's legitimate, like the system is going to listen to what people want. Nobody, who asked for this? Nobody. Well, you know, a very small group of people demand it. Who cares what they want? You got this overwhelming, nobody wants it, and the system ignores them, but does it anyway, and says, well, it's because of this small fraction that says they want it. We have to do what they say. It's BS. Now, I don't know, and I'll leave with this question for you, because I don't know. Is homeschooling allowed? Is it even legal in the UK? Because they do allow it here. They have restrictions on it, but it's allowed here. And more and more parents are wisely taking that option, because, you know, it's like sitting your kids in front of the TV and walking off. You drop your kids off at school, and this is the sort of crap they're going to get exposed to. You know, again, your parents' number one job is to protect your kids. It's more important than anything else, including your very own life. You have to protect your kids. So if homeschooling is an option in the UK, it's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to do with less. You're going to have to do what you got to do, because protecting your kids is your number one job as a parent. But again, it may be, being the UK, it's probably completely illegal and can get you arrested for hate crime. I don't know, Sven. You can tell us.
Well, actually, you can do homeschooling in Britain, but the issue is that not every parent has the know-how to do that, which is why we need to rely on the government to do it. Why parents expect the teachers to not make these decisions which can harm the child. They're handing their child over to them, and the teachers are supposed to act in the same way that the parent would and not make any decisions that the parent wouldn't make. And yet here they are saying that they can socially transition children. So we do have homeschooling over here in Britain. But one of the things that is pointed out in this article here is about safeguarding concerns. And it says that they're doing this because of safeguarding concerns. And the problem with that is that there is a route, there is a shown route between children that socially transition. They all end up on puberty blockers and or surgery when they get older. There is a pathway to that. So socially transitioning results in puberty blockers or surgery, which is one of the reasons why it was said that we shouldn't be socially transitioning these children. So the concern here, the safeguarding concern that the government has, is that, well, the child might get depressed and kill itself, which really doesn't happen with children, or it didn't used to happen that children would get depressed. I know it is a thing now. But what is proven is that these children that socially transition, 99% of them will then go on to take puberty blockers, which will prevent them from going through puberty, something which has never been known before in the thousands of years of humanity, that somebody just wouldn't actually go through puberty, would choose to do that. I mean, it would leave them innocent. Mentally, it would leave them challenged, as well as physically not actually growing in the way that they should. When you go through puberty, your brain changes as well as your body. So it literally means that you end up with emotionally stunted people that are unable to have children, unable to enjoy sex, and they're being put on a pathway to that by teachers that socially transition them at such a young age. That's the safeguarding concern that should be borne in mind, not this safeguarding concern of, oh, well, we don't want to hurt the feelings of the child by making them face up to reality and the fact that they can't actually change their sex. And it's like safeguarding has become completely inverted now from what it originally should be. And it's quite concerning that this isn't just guidance, it's actually going to be made into law as well. So it's basically following Scotland. As I say, it's not quite as bad as Scotland, where teachers can choose to socially transition children without actually telling the parents. But that might well make its way in there before this gets debated and turned into law by the Houses of Parliament. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.